The crew all season long on WTMJ. It's Brewers Extra Innings. Now, live from American Family Field, here's your host, Dominic Catronio.
Oh, how sweet is it? Brewers get the victory. They've won three in a row. They've taken first place from the Pirates, and they do it in come-from-behind fashion. I'm Dominic Catronio. Happy Father's Day. 38,000 plus here on hand today. It was a rocking crowd, and man, that was the loudest I've really heard this ballpark since opening week this season. That was a lot of fun here at American Family Field. I'm joined by Jeff Cirillo once again. Jeff, let me just blow your mind with the stat real quick. We've talked about it before, but for the folks who weren't familiar, until today, the Brewers had not come back from a two-run deficit at all. That's including games they end up winning or games that they lose. They hadn't come back from a two-run deficit at all since May 14th, almost a month or over a month plus of games, 30-plus games. They finally get that monkey off of their back. They win 5-2 thanks to a four-run eighth inning. Sometimes you just got to do it to remind yourself you know how to do it.
Boy, and they did it against a couple really good pitchers too, right? You did the setup guy for the Pirates, and then they brought in their closer to try and mend the fence there, but I mean, it was a good victory for him, a good series in front of a great crowd on Father's Day. I mean, it was a great day, and the Brewers always do a fantastic Father's Day.
I struggle with my assessment of this game because honestly, you could argue that you look at that weird second and third inning for Freddie, but then he ended up locking things down and then retiring the final 12 batters that he faced after the homer from Brian Reynolds. And you never want to say you should or you're supposed to win, but at the same time, it felt like the Brewers were winning this game despite being down 2-0, because for the first 8 at-bats with the runner in scoring position, they were 0-for-8. Did you have that same feeling watching along?
I did. It looked like the at-bats were really solid, just 1-9 today. And just, you know, sometimes it's really hard. You know, those pitchers dial it up. You know, there's two scouting reports, right? There's a how is he going to attack you with runners on, no one on. And then there's another level that they'll go to with runners in scoring position. And, you know, tip your hat right now. I mean, but the Brewers, you know, the more PP you put in scoring position, eventually, you know, the worm will turn. And, you know, that eighth inning was a special inning for him.
It was a four-run frame. Two hits only in the frame, but three walks, some very timely hitting, guys trying to do their job. I mean, I just kind of want to start things off there in that A. So Angel Perdomo started the inning for the Pirates, former Brewer making, you know, he was facing Jesse Winker. And Jesse Winker grounded out on the first pitch he saw today. Then it looked like a switch flipped for him. He started to get a bit more patient, drew a walk into third, had the clutch RBI single in the fifth to get the Brewers on the board. Then in that at-bat, left on left, it was a 2-2 count. He took another really close pitch and then eventually won the battle with the walk. I think that really is the at-bat. I mean, I'll get to this later with our difference-making moment, but that's the at-bat that I circle. That's all right. You get a leadoff walk in this situation. The Brewers have to cash in, especially the guy Jesse Winker, who we were talking about yesterday. Maybe should not be in the two-hole. Today he got on base three times, did his job, getting the walk, starting that rally that ultimately became the game winner in the eighth.
Yeah, and he didn't look uncomfortable against the lefty, right? Perdomo's got a, you know, a long three-quarter delivery, right? I mean, it's just a three-quarter, so the arm angle's way out there. You know, there was no bite. There was sometimes when you get that lefty with that arm angle, it makes you a little uncomfortable in the box. He looked comfortable in the box as the game went along, as at-bats kind of seeing, tracking more pitches through. It looked like he wasn't out in front. And, you know, like I said, the 3-2 pitch was a breaking ball. I mean, you always love that, too, when you're in those at-bats, when you get that non-competitive 3-2 pitch. So it's an easy walk. And like you said, it kind of got the wheel started.
Looking at the next at-bat, Willy Adames, a 9-pitch walk for a guy that has been slumping since he returned from the injured list. We've talked about maybe an opposite field hit gets you going, maybe a great plate appearance like that. 9 pitches seen against Darwin Moreta, who's got a nasty slider. That kept the rally going. And another reason for the Brewers was, okay, we've got to cash in here and finally get this monkey off our back.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't look like a guy in that at-bat that's hitting 200 on the season. And that's tough, right? Because hitters know, right? They kind of become indicative of kind of what they see on the board, right? If you're hitting 200, you know, you're right on the teeter going on the interstate. And the 2-2 pitch he took was, you know, it was a big league pitch, right? It was a big league pitch, big league take, and a big league call by the umpire to not call it. So for me, that 2-2 pitch taking that slider off the plate by maybe an inch was a great at bat.
Rowdy would fly out. He was trying to pull the ball, trying to attack with nobody out. That was the right approach. He just missed one. Then Contreras ambushing to tie the game. What a gutsy send by Jason Lane of Andrew Monasterio, who was running for Winker. I mean, an accurate throw, and it was going to be a close play. But that's why you got scouts, right, Jeff?
I was shocked. I mean, it's just one of those things, right? You've had so many opportunities. Maybe the guy on third, less than two outs. And you might think, you know, it gets in your head. It's like, well, you know what? We're kind of moving down in the order here. Let's take a chance and push on this play. He got a great jump on the ball. Monasterio did at second base. I was a little surprised by the send watching the play live. But, you know, it worked out for the Brewers because, I mean, that for me is the play. You know, Lane having the guts to call, send him, you know, just an epiphany, obviously, to send him in that situation. Because if he's thrown out, then it's first and second and two outs. And now you're down to your last bullet.
I mean, guts of a burglar. And then Owen Miller. It's an inauspicious walk in the long run. He ended up scoring the fifth run of the game, though. But Miller's not a guy who draws walks, okay? He's got 15 extra base hits. That walk he drew was just his 10th walk of the season. He's a guy that puts bats a ball, and to stay patient after seeing the guy ahead of him tie the game with an ambush single, thought that was a big league at-bat. And then Raimel Tapia, not fooled at all in the first pitch against Bednar, got a fastball, drove it, heck of a play by Jiwon Bae. Brewers take the lead on the sac fly. And man, did Luis Urias need that single on a 3-2 pitch. I was so worried when he fell behind 1-2, saying, man, this is your moment, this is your chance to just try to create some positive mojo in this stop-and-start season that he has had. And once again, Weicho decides to deliver maybe his best at-bat of the season.
Right, and he worked the count. You know, it's one of those ones, like hitting is one of those, it's a contagious thing either way, right? We've talked about this ladder, right? And these one guy go up there and they're having a non-competitive bat. It kind of has as a way of seeping into the rest of the guys. And in that lineup, I mean, if you might look back at this one inning as one of those innings, you know, if the Brewers are able to capture the title in the Central, you look back at that eighth inning and just the way they manufactured those at-bats and just worked the pitchers. And, you know, to win games and win big league games, it's one of those ones. It's a 1-9 thing, and you're just making the pitchers work and be tight and stingy with their chase rates.
It was a very smart attack in that eighth inning. And quite frankly, the way I felt about the offense today, I know I've talked about them being more aggressive and trying to see them attack more strikes. At the same time, they didn't take strikes today. You know, they were attacking pitches in the zone, which is always a good sign. You're going to strike out, okay? It's major league pitching. Everyone's going to strike out. But that approach I saw in the eighth inning, I tweeted this a moment ago, I believe that is the best inning of offense this season for the Brewers, just because, yeah, home runs are cool. Home runs are always great. But the fact that they could score four runs without a homer with their script, right? They're cool with drawing walks. They're cool with moving the guy over. They're cool with doing the little things. And seeing an inning like that to finally get a come-from-behind win. It was only their third win when trailing after seven innings this year. I'm just really fired up about it, as you can tell, Jeff.
Yeah, I mean, being a Brewers fan, I'm watching a ton of baseball games that I do. You know, you look and the Brewers are down to 2-0, and you might have had a different feeling there at the stadium. But for me, it was like, oh my goodness, 2-0, you know, kind of a lackluster performance, you know, good pitching in the game. But for me, the light got switched right there. And it wasn't like there was a lot of hits in the situation. It was just quality at bats, you know. So hopefully they can take that into the D-back series because they're going to need some offense. It's a good offensive team coming to town.
And a really good pitching team, Loki. You're going to see both of their aces. We'll talk about them a little bit later on in the program. 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620. Get to a few of these texts and a few tweets in a moment. Want to remind you that Brewers Extra Innings is brought to you by Fifth Third Bank with the local Milwaukee team. Fifth Third Bank also knows how to hit it out of the park. They've been serving businesses in the area for nearly 15 years, offering industry-specific expertise and local decision-making capabilities to help your business succeed. This is commercial banking. That's value that's only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, member FDIC. Happy Father's Day. More to come on WTMJ.
You're listening to Brewers Extra Innings, presented by Fifth Third Bank on WTMJ.
Brewers get the victory 5-2. They sweep the Pirates. They're 37 and 34. I'm Dominic Catronio with Jeff Cirillo. We're with you till the top of the hour. 855-616-1620. 855-616-1620. Old National Bank talking text line. Old National Bank, get old. Jeff, Freddy Peralta was a curious case today. He had the tough second and third innings, 57 pitches in those two innings. He only needed 46 pitches in the other four frames. This was a case, and he retired the last 12 batters he faced. How do you assess Freddie's performance today?
I look like he was just a little bit too amped up out there. Like, some of his misses were really non-competitive pitches. But, I mean, when you have stuff, right, and Freddie has stuff, you're able to kind of navigate lineups and avoid big innings, and that's what he did. He was able to somehow flip the switch and turn it on, and like you said, his last three innings pitch were fantastic, right? The first, the second and the third inning were laborious innings and non-competitive at times. But, you know, I think he really locked it in and gave the Brewers a great performance.
He still struck out 9 today despite walking 3 and a 3-2 pitch, eighth pitch of the at-bat to Brian Reynolds. Somebody tweeted me saying, oh, you can't expect to fool Brian Reynolds. Like, well, that was his first hit of the day and his only hit of the day. In fact, he just had the double yesterday. He was quiet in that one, and he was quiet in the series opener as well. So they really kept him in check for the most part, aside from that home run that he hit in the third. And he's an all-star. He's a great player. And great players make great plays, and you tip your cap.
Well, I mean, you know, I mean, he's in the middle of the order for a reason for the Pirates. And, you know, I mean, three pitch and he hit the home run. I mean, that's what he's paid to do.
He's someone that the Brewers have obviously had issues with, but then, to Freddie's credit, he struck him out the other two times he faced him. So, credit to Freddie there. For Peralta, I don't know if it was a mentality thing, because the stuff looked the same. I mean, you said it about being a little too amped or everything like that, but the attitude he had with the fastball after that home run, it seemed to take a whole new life. Of the final four strikeouts he had, three of them were on fastballs. Two of them were even looking as well. When his nickname's Fastball Freddy for a reason, and when he's dominating like he is with that pitch, he delivers another quality start today. Everything else gets played up, and everything else looks even more difficult to hit.
Well, it's just nice getting like Miley back in the rotation. Then you follow him up with Peralta. Then you follow him up with Burns. And now you're kind of looking at the pieces that made the Brewers so successful in April, right? I mean, just when you walk through that door and you see the name, and it's not that anything against Hauser or even Colin Ray. I mean, it's just one of those ones when you just start putting quality start on quality start, it makes it a lot easier to play baseball.
You know who else played very, very well today, given the Brewers are trailing for the majority of this game? The bullpen. They were awesome. Hobie Milner, a scoreless seventh thanks to a double play. Then you had Trevor McGill, once again, 1-2-3 frame, no strikeouts this time. And then Devin Williams slams the door in the ninth inning, three shutout frames and only using one true leverage reliever in Devin Williams. And for him, things are like back to normal in a way for Devin. He looked as dominant as ever. The bullpen, very quietly, was maybe the best position group of the day for the Brewers.
Well, it's interesting. McGill now is starting to get the confidence of the coaching staff and Craig Counsell getting in those late leverage innings. Like, stuff-wise, you know, he put him in there with anybody, right? You just have to look at the performance, you know, in years past. But like I said yesterday, you know, the Brewers have a way of turning pitchers around that have really good stuff, and McGill is rewarding them for that.
A text here from Aaron in Illinois. So many things to like about this win. A late-inning comeback. Freddie got right. Yelly heating up. Winker had a good day. Devin was flawless, and the bullpen only needed 27 pitches for three innings. The Crew's record when scoring four or more, it's improved now. It's gotten even better. It's 33-6 this season, and it was only the Brewers' 11th come-from-behind win this season, helped in part thanks to their bullpen today. Christian Yelich, I mean, very quietly, two doubles, a walk, a run scored. He had himself a day at the plate. And when Yelly's performing like this, his batting average is over 270 now. His on-base is hovering right around 370. He's playing like an all-star leadoff hitter, right? I understand folks are mad about the contract and things like that, but the dude's playing, man. The dude's playing ball, and he's really, really been a huge piece for the Brewers. He's kind of been the constant for the offense for the last month and a half or so.
Well, I mean, we talked about it the other day, right? You become like a little bit locked in on those numbers that you see on the board, right? And everyone wants to hit him 330 again and 40 home runs and MVP type stuff. But I mean, I think the shift coming in, you said he had a great spring training, and now you're getting him, and I just saw you just His OPS just popped over 800. So, I mean, he looks really comfortable. He's in a good little rhythm at the plate and confident at the plate. So, I mean, Yelich starts at the top, right? He's the leader. I mean, he makes the most money on the team, so people are going to be looking for him to be great, right? And so if he's doing great, then it just helps the rest of the guys, especially all the young guys.
No doubt, and he's an example to look at moving forward. Another text here from Brendan in West Bend. What do the Brewers do with Julio Teheran when Woodruff and Lauer return? Julio Teheran ain't going anywhere, man. I mean, if he keeps pitching like this, he's not going anywhere. What I imagine would happen is they would option Colin Ray, depending on when Woodruff. I mean, Woodruff's still a month away. You know, All-Star break time is the estimation. They have not committed to before or after the All-Star break, but somewhere around the All-Star break, which is just under a month away. And then furthermore, for Lauer, he was optioned. So Lauer is staying down in AAA for the time being to get him right. And Adrian Hauser, he's going to be in the bullpen for the time being based on performance. They're sticking with Colin Ray, and they're sticking with Julio Teheran right now, and we will see Julio Teheran this week making his second start of this homestand going up against the Diamondbacks on Wednesday. If you're getting piling on these six-inning starts, everyone's stretched out now and good to go. It makes things easier on the bullpen, makes things easier for everybody, and I think these are the right calls. I think these are the ways that the Brewers can continue to lighten the load on their bullpen. Hauser being down there can be successful. And I love what I've seen from Julio Teheran.
You can only put your roster of 25, 26 guys. And so whoever's suited up for that day, you can't really worry about. You hope Woodruff comes back, and you hope Woodruff comes back to the form that he's presented in the past. But at this point in time, you know, as the manager, you can't think like, well, what if, or we hope, you know, when we get Woodruff back. You just go with what you got, and you go with the out of hand, and Teheran is deserves to be in the starting rotation for sure.
He's going to have an ace off on Wednesday against Zach Gallen. We're going to talk about the Diamondbacks in just a moment. Want to thank Hupie and Abraham for every double play the Milwaukee Brewers turned this season. Hupie and Abraham will donate $100 to Feeding America Eastern Wisconsin. And remember, if you're injured or in an accident, call Hupie and Abraham. Winner, it's free, guaranteed. The winning team, Hupie and Abraham, HUPY.com. More to come on WTMJ after this.
Now, more Brewers Extra Innings presented by Fifth Third Bank on WTMJ.
It's a sweet 5-2, the victory over the Pirates today. The Diamondbacks will come to town next. I'm Dominic Catronio, along with Jeff Cirillo. Thanks for joining us on this Father's Day. Jeff, before we get into the Diamondbacks, I was wondering if you had a difference-making moment today. And of course, a four-run eighth inning for the Brewers is certainly an easy pick, but what do you got for your Annex Wealth Management difference-making moment?
I'm going to go to specific with the 2-2 take from Christian Adames today with a slider that just missed the corner right on the black, one ball off to get that line moving and to set up the first and second situation on a nine-pitch at-bat that I think really energized the dugout and the next guy that was coming up.
Yeah, Willie got the job done. That was a huge moment indeed. I'm also going to stay in that eighth inning. You know what? I'm going to throw a curveball actually here. I'm going to go back to the seventh inning because I had this highlighted too. That the first two batters, two of the first three reached against Hobie Milner. First and second, one out. And Jason DeLay, the catcher, grounds into an inning-ending double play, 6-4-3. You worry if you get beyond DeLay. Granted, it would have been left on left with Bay, but he's a contact hitter. I think that the fact that the seventh inning ended right there was an underrated fact of this game, that the Brewers did not allow another runner on after that as well from their bullpen between McGill and Williams. Hobie Milner getting out of that jam, I thought, was more important than maybe we realized in the end of the day.
Yeah, I can't argue with that one. That's a good one, too.
Now, let's get ready for these Diamondbacks. And they are in first place. They are a very good team. The Brewers lost the series earlier in the year at Arizona on their first real road trip of the season. Right now, Cleveland, though, is beating up on the Diamondbacks 5-1 in the top of the fourth inning. The Diamondbacks are in first place in the West. The Dodgers are losing today right now as well. So, looks like they will still at least be four games up coming out here. My question to you, with Arizona being a team full of a mix of young and old, kind of like these Pirates, right? Guys like Corbin Carroll have been impressive. Jake McCarthy has been impressive. Then they've got some older guys like Evan Longoria and Christian Walker. And then Zach Gallen is currently leading the NL Cy Young race, if you ask me. Is there anything that jumps out to you in particular about these Arizona Diamondbacks and how dangerous they've been this year?
speed, athleticism. I mean, they're young. They believe it, you know, and they're getting off to a great start. They got two great starters in Kelly and Gallen. They got a superstar player in Corbin Carroll. They got a superstar shortstop in Perdomo. So, I mean, they have a lot of young pieces, and I don't think that what the Diamondbacks are doing is a fluke.
Right now, the Diamondbacks at 43-28, second best record in the National League. They would be the, let's see here, the fourth best record in all of baseball right now, too. So they're legit. They're real. They're hungry. They've got a winning percentage over 600. And I know you're close with Corbin Carroll. Can you give us a little bit of the backstory there of you and Corbin Carroll's relationship?
I've coached him since he was 13 years old. I was out actually there for his opening day. When I got called up, there was just like it was a transactional thing in a newspaper for him. When he got called up, it was Corbin Carroll Day in Arizona, and so special player. And obviously, they signed him to a long 8-year contract, and they're getting rewarded for doing that.
He is one of the fastest players in baseball. He's got an OPS hovering right around 1,000, and he weighs about 170 pounds soaking wet. He is a freak athlete, and he's going to have the Brewers' hands full coming up this week. And they're going to see both Merrill Kelly and Zach Gallen, the two aces of that staff. I don't want to temper expectations, but I just kind of want to set the stage. Like, this is going to be a hard series. The Diamondbacks are not the Diamondbacks that you remember from the last few years. They're a legitimate contender right now. And you're going to face their best. They're coming in healthy. They're coming in playing well. So I think it sets a stage, in my opinion, for an opportunity for the Brewers to really start playing some incredible baseball and generate some more mojo off of this sweep today.
It's going to be a test for sure. I mean, because you think about back when they played the Diamondbacks in Arizona, that arguably that was the best time when the Brewers were playing. I mean, they had a great series in San Diego, and they played three competitive games against Diamondback, and then they swept the Mariners in Seattle. So I look for a great series, but it's good that the Brewers got off the 6-game losing streak, and they're riding a 3-game winning streak. I mean, baseball's one of those swings. It's so many games, 162 games, and you ride those waves, right? You shorten the losing streaks, and you try and extend those winning streaks. So hopefully they can keep it going.
With summer here, it'll be Merrill Kelly and Corbin Burns tomorrow night at 7:10. We'll have Brewers Extra Innings for you then as well. Ryne Nelson against Colin Ray on Tuesday, also a 7:10 first pitch. And then on Wednesday, finale, Zach Gallen, Julio Teheran to finish up the series with the Diamondbacks. And that'll finish our time with Jeff Cirillo for today. Jeff, we'll chat with you more down the road. Enjoy your Father's Day, my friend. I hope you guys had a great day. Thanks for working on your holiday.
I appreciate it. Thanks, Tom. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there.
All right. Jeff Cirillo here on the program today. Brewers win 5-2. We'll talk about who's hot. We'll hear from Craig Counsell in just a little bit. More of your texts as well. 855-616-1620. 855-616-1620. Stay with us. WTMJ.
Welcome back to Brewers Extra Innings.
The Annex Wealth Management difference-making moment brought to you by Annex Wealth Management. They're different, not driven by commission sales or pushing financial products you may not actually need for elite comprehensive financial planning customized to who you are and what you need. Contact Annex Wealth Management. Know the difference at annexwealth.com. The Brewers get the sweep over the Pirates today, and Arizona coming to town shortly. Let's talk about who's hot. It's brought to you by Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Air Conditioning. Right now, the Brewers, looking at this box score going up and down the list here, William Contreras had multiple hits, including his third career triple today. Yelich had a pair of doubles. I got to go with Yelich. What a stretch that he is in right now. Very quietly, I might add as well. And Jeff said it great there a moment ago. Yeah, he's not hitting 40 homers a year. Yeah, he's not hitting 330. Players change, players evolve. He had a major injury. Do not lose sight of the fact that he had a major injury. But Yelly has quietly been really, really heating up since the start of May. When you take out the first month of the season, which you can't on the season stats, I get that. But since May 1st, here we are a month and a half later. Christian Yelich, in that time frame, is hitting .304, a .401 on base, and a .500 slugging. That's a .901 OPS. Now, a .345 player is MVP caliber, okay? A .345 means a .300 average, a .400 on base, and a .500 slugging. And to have that out of your leadoff hitter, a 300 average, a 400 on base, and a 500 slugging. I know it's not for the full season, but for his last 41 games, 172 plate appearances, that's a big sample size. You cannot ignore that. Christian Yelich is playing well. I'm not going to use the word back because we're not going to see the 2019 version of Christian Yelich. You know that, and he knows that. But if we see this a la Miami Marlins Christian Yelich, less ground balls Christian Yelich, again, since May 1st, 41 games, 304 batting average, 401 on base, 500 on the dot slugging. That's a 901 OPS. 11 doubles, 6 homers. He's also drawn a total of 22 walks in that time, only struck out 32 times. That's a great rate as well. That's less than a 20% strikeout rate. League average is right around 22-23%. That's great stuff from him, too. He's also got 11 stolen bases in that time. Christian Yelich continues to help the Brewers win, play well, and at the top of the order, he sets the stage, and he's in there against lefties, against righties. He has been a very, very fun player to watch this year. Just appreciate it while it's happening to see him. He's also increased his batting average by a total of almost 50 points since May 1st because of this good stretch of hitting that he has been in as of late. Who's Hot is brought to you by Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. Trust in your family's comfort at home this summer with Sider. Don't wait until it's too late for your AC preventative maintenance. Schedule your appointment today at Sider, SEIDER.com. Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. Families helping families since 1912. We're going to hear from the manager, Craig Counsell, coming up after the break. Don't go anywhere. WTMJ.
Now, more Brewers Extra Innings presented by Fifth Third Bank on WTMJ.
Freddy Peralta gets a no decision today. He exited when he was still trailing in the game.
I still think a pitcher record is kind of dumb to keep track of, but I get why it matters. I mean, he pitched great today. He pitched really, really well. He earned a quality start. 6 strong innings, just 2 hits allowed, 2 runs. That was the home run by Brian Reynolds. He also struck out 9 batters today. A very, very good start. He rebounded after throwing 57 pitches in innings number 2 and 3. Otherwise, he only needed 46 in his season-high 103 pitches today from Freddie. A very important start for him. He is really looking good. They'll need him again on the road trip. Let's hear from the manager, Craig Counsell, about Freddie and for the rest of the game.
Yeah, I was really proud of Freddie today. I obviously struggled through the inning. I mean, just threw a lot of pitches through that inning that he gave the homer in. And then, you know, then he put up zeros. And that's, you know, it's 2-0. It's early in the game. We got a lot of, you know, a lot of outs still. And he put up a bunch of shutout innings. And bullpen, you know, the guys that pitched next did as well. And, you know, we had some shots or, you know, some men on third situations we didn't cash in on early, but eventually put a big inning together.
How was Freddie able to get back on track like that so quickly?
I mean, there's no magic pill or anything like that. He just got in the strike zone. I mean, that's the big thing. There was, you know, it was just a little bit, the misses were big early. So it was kind of giving the hitters some free pitches, right? They let him back in the count on some just misses that were too big. And then I just thought everything just got tighter in the strike zone. So that's when you're going to get maybe the swings a little out of the strike zone. And that, credit to him for doing that.
Couples the non-competitive misses, right?
Yeah.
How good is it to see Willie and Jesse and Weicho each deliver and kind of, you know, Willie had the 9-pitch walk there.
Yeah.
Kind of get back on track.
Yeah, that's what you need to score runs, right? You know, those guys, kind of those 3 guys have been struggling for sure. And they each definitely contributed. Willie had a great at-bat there. Wink had the hit to score the first run and then a nice walk against Perdomo to lead off the 8th. And then Weicho gave Devin some breathing room.
How about Tapia? He had a good at-bat, his first at-bat, followed off a bunch of pitches. Struck out and ground out. After.
Yeah. I mean, I love his approach in that last at bat, just being aggressive, right? You know, you get rewarded by contact there. He was aggressive, got a good pitch to hit, and did something with it.
Is that kind of what you've seen from him so far? Like a guy who sort of has a plan, sort of knows what he wants to do?
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, you come to a new team and you want to make a contribution. That's the big thing. And so I feel good and happy for him. And, you know, you contribute to a win. That's important for new players.
If I could go back to Willie and Winker and Weecho, those three, are you seeing better signs from them at the plate? I know Jesse's only been up a few days, but, you know, Willie and Weecho in particular have been kind of struggling.
Yeah, I mean, they're going through it a little bit. We got a couple guys going through it, and that's the part of the season. Fortunately, we got a couple, you know, Yelly's been swinging it really, really well. William's been swinging it really well. Joey had some big hits in the series, so that's, you know, how a season's going to work generally. But when you get contributions from those guys that have been struggling, that's when you're usually going to score some runs.
Sweeping a division opponent is always big, obviously, but how big was it to bounce back, you know, from the stretch you guys just had?
Yeah, I mean, it's a baseball season, right? And we're going to have stretches that we don't like. And the important thing is that you show up the next day and you erase that and go out and play a good game. So we played a good series. We did a lot of good things this series. Pitched very, very well this series. A lot of guys pitched well this series. And it's the roller coaster of a year. But in the division, you know, the games matter. The way the division's just situated through nearly half the season right now. The way you play teams less now, the tiebreaker, all that stuff. So the games matter.
Games certainly matter. And divisional sweeps carry a little more weight with them. And the Brewers outplayed the Pirates in all three games. And today it took until the eighth inning to show up, but they got the job done. Let's get some highlights. That's coming up next on WTMJ.
Ready for this?
Get up!
This?
Get up!
And this, time for tonight's highlights. Here's Dominic Catronio.
Things started spinning quickly on Freddy Peralta today. He was going up against Luis Ortiz for the Pirates, looking for a sweep. Loaded the bases, though, in the second inning. A couple of walks and a double in there, facing the nine-hitter, Jason DeLay.
DeLay is waiting, and the pitch. Hey, struck him out looking. The inning is over on a fastball that caught the outside corner. He strikes him out. Wow.
A big K there to leave the bases loaded. However, he would allow a two-run homer to Brian Reynolds in the third inning. So the Pirates would be out in front of this one for the majority of the game. We fast forward, bottom of the fifth inning. Still 2-0 Pittsburgh. Top of the order, Christian Yelich, a one-out double off the wall and left. Jesse Winker in his second game back from the injured list.
Here he comes again. Line to left. There it is. A base hit. Yelich coming on. The throw is going to be late. With a belly flop slide, the Brewers are on the board.
On the board, it was their first hit with a runner in scoring position on the day. 1-for-9 at that point. More on that in a moment. The Brewers really got a great start from Freddy Peralta. 6 strong innings, just the home run allowed to Brian Reynolds. He threw 103 pitches, a season high for him. He also struck out 9 batters. Hobie Milner had the 7th. He allowed 2 men to reach on singles. And once again, Jason DeLay in the middle of things.
The pitch is a ground ball hit to short. That should be 2. 6-4-3. Double play. Inning over. Right off the end of the bat for DeLay and Taylor made. Adamas, Miller, and Telez.
Things got moving in the eighth inning. The Brewers got a leadoff walk from Jesse Winker. He reached base 3 times today. The DH was lifted for a pinch runner in Andrew Monasterio. Willie Adamas, a 9-pitch walk to put runners on first and second. Rowdy would fly out for the first out of the inning. Then William Contreras ready to go on the first pitch.
And the pitch. Line to right. It's a base hit. There's going to be a play.
All knotted up. That would also be then a walk to Owen Miller. Would reload the bases for the crew now. That would be the end for Moreira. In comes the closer, David Bednar, in a tie game 2-2. The newest Brewer, Raimel Tapia, making his presence known.
And the pitch. Hit in the air to center and deep. Way back. Get up. Caught by Bay. How he hung on to it, I don't know.
It was a sack fly nonetheless. The Brewers would take the lead 3-2. And then just for good measure, let's get some insurance from Weecho.
And here it is. Bouncer hit to left field. A base hit. Contreras is in. The throw coming on. Owen Miller is in. And they have Riz in a rundown, and he's tagged out.
5-2 the score and the final. The Brewers sweep the Pirates. They were in first place all alone at 37-34. We'll wrap up the program after this. I'm on top of
the world. Hey. Welcome back to Brewers Extra Innings.
Last couple minutes of the show. Here's what's ahead for the Brew Crew. Man, sweeps make everything feel better. That's the best Father's Day gift you can get, right? Now all the dads just want to sit back and watch the U.S. Open, okay? Just let us sit on the couch and we'll be fine. The Brewers, here's what they've got coming up. Diamondbacks, as we've mentioned plenty, two night games, 7:10 first pitches tomorrow night and Tuesday night, and then on Wednesday, a 1:10 first pitch. Off day on Thursday, then they begin a three-city road trip. It's been a minute since they've had a three-city trip. Haven't had one since April. So the Brewers will be hitting Cleveland, New York, Queens, that is, and Pittsburgh before they come back home for the 4th of July holiday, a seven-game homestand to close out the first half. I can't believe we're already almost done with the first half. It's bonkers to me how fast this season has been flying by. Cleveland, it'll be a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Friday at 6:10 Central Time, Saturday 3:10 Central Time, and then Sunday at 12:40 Central Time. Then on to Queens. All night games for all four midweek games there. And then finally, over next weekend in Pittsburgh, the following weekend in Pittsburgh. No off days on that road trip, by the way. 6:05, 3:05, and 12:35 out there. No off day on the way back facing the Cubs for the 4th of July. A fun one today. And again, go give your dad a big hug. Think about those who may have lost their fathers or have different relationships with their fathers than you. I'm very lucky to have mine, my dad Vince. Love you, Dad. And you guys heard it last Sunday when the A's were in town. So go enjoy the rest of this beautiful day. My thanks to Evan Witalis and our producer. And my thanks to Jeff Cirillo. I'm Dom Catronio. Brewers win. Keep on swinging.